We got Elul coming up, and Elul begins a period that we call the 40-day season of Teshuvah. Teshuvah in Hebrew, Hebrew word T-E-S-H-U-V-A-H is in English repentance. It is the 40 days leading up to the day, the final of the 40 days, which is Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement, when we stand before God and are judged. And so it's also the same period of time that Yeshua spent in the wilderness before he began his ministry. During this period of time, we also have in 30 days the holiday known as Yom Teruah, the Festival of Trumpets. Some people call it, well, the Jewish people call it Rosh Hashanah, the head of the civil year. But in the Bible, it's Yom Teruah. Elul, though, is the month before, and it's a time for personal introspection, a time to prepare oneself for the coming new year and the upcoming observance. Perhaps you may ask, exactly what am I supposed to do during this period of time? What am I preparing for? Simply, between now and then, you are to take an inventory of all your attitudes, your actions. Then in the days between Yom Teruah and Yom Kippur, you have 10 days to figure it all out. You'll enter into a heightened state of awareness and you will of what you need to change in your life so that you can become all that God wants you to be. Be all that you can be. That's God's commercial. Elul is a month of opportunity to basically clean house. So think of spring cleaning. This is fall cleaning, where your house is the temple of the Ruach HaKodesh. Where is the temple now? You. All right, there's four things you have to do here to clean your house. First is called Azivat HaChet. That means leaving the sin. In order to leave a sin, you have to recognize that you have one. Make sure sin is defined as turning your back on the teachings of God as revealed in where? The Torah. God only wrote one book. It's called the Torah. It consists of five books, but it's only one book. He's not making a sequel. He's not coming out with a new Torah 2, the sequel. Therefore, in this time, make an effort to take an inventory of what you need to change in your life using the written commandments of God as your guide. For example, perhaps you have trouble being a motor mouth. How many of you do that? You're not going to tell me. And you find yourself gossiping about everything and everyone, right? So face this problem head on. Perhaps you're addicted to misconduct of some kind. Face up to it. Recognize it as something you need to get under control in your life. You know, maybe eat too much chocolate. Not me. Maybe you abuse yourself emotionally. Which leads to actions that get you fired from jobs and causes stress in your relationships with family and friends. And if so, recognize this self-hating talk and turn it around. Maybe you're a habitual liar or someone who's full of pride or someone who has ego. Ego means edging God out. Don't do that ego stuff. Maybe you're always wanting more, which leads to envy and strife in your life and amounts to nothing more than idolatry. So you need to look at yourself and ask those hard questions that you don't want to ask, you know? But this time, now is the chance to do that. The second thing, once you do that, is to do charata, which is regret and remorse. Not only do you need to recognize sin, but you also want to enter into taking responsibility for your sins. Who caused your sin? That guy over there? Wrong. Look in the mirror and tell me who caused your sin. You know who did it. This means honestly entering into remorse and regret for doing the sin. True repentance is to feel that sorrow in one's soul for the sins which you transgress. Refraining from transgression without feeling bad about what one did is very far from repentance. Third thing you do, vidui, verbal confession of your sins before God. You don't have to come up here and say, Nate, I sinned. I'm not God. You got to do it before God. Make an effort to step into your prayer closet. Do you have a prayer closet? For a Jew, it's easy. Just put on the tallit and go in your prayer closet. That's why we wear these things, right? Plus, it helps when it rains and snows. And this covers up the bald spot, my daughter told me. But there's other things you can do. Get into your prayer closet if you don't have one and actually verbalize in the face of God those sins that you performed. I stole Lauren's car last week. You didn't know that, did you? God, I'm telling God, not you. So you still don't know who did it. Call them out loud so that you can hear the words. I didn't do it, Lauren. It was Roger. Huh? He coveted his car, yeah. Fourth is Kabbalah Lahabo, a receiving in yourself a commitment to not come into the sin again. Once you say, I did this sin, you got to say, I ain't going to do it again. I'm not going to steal your car anymore. One who comes to purify himself, guess what? God helps him. All you must do is to take the first step towards commitment. Afterwards, God is there to assist you by whom? The Ruach HaKodesh. He lets the Holy Spirit enter into your life. With all this understanding, now think about the words of 1 John 1, 8 and 9. Let me read those. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Who thinks they're perfect in every way? I know it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way, but humble yourself for a minute and tell me that you're not perfect, because nobody here is perfect. I don't care who you are. You're perfect to me, but not to the world, right? Yeah, I better say that to my wife. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Man, you don't want to make God a liar, do you? Yeah, okay. Guess what? The month of Nisan, which we celebrated in the spring, marked the miraculous exodus from Egypt. 50 days later, at the month of Sivan, the revelation of God at Mount Sinai came, sealing off an eternal marriage bond between God and the nation of Israel. And it was at this time that Moses went up the mountain to receive the marriage contract, which is called the Torah. In Moses' absence, the people were playing around with golden cows. And they got themselves in a little trouble for that, right? So then for another 40 days, Moses pleaded with God to restore the harmonious relationship with the Jewish people that he had before they sinned. And so then he had to go up Mount Sinai a third time after God relented. In Exodus 32, he went up on the first day of the month of Elul, which is next Friday, to receive the second set of the tablets upon which the Ten Commandments were inscribed. At the end of those 40 days, he returned to the congregation of people, and guess what day that was? Yom Kippur, the 10th of Tishrei. The fact that Israel received the second set demonstrated that once again, God had found the nation worthy of receiving them. He didn't destroy them. He didn't say, because you sinned, I'm just going to do away with you, because we wouldn't be here today, none of us. Not you, not I, nobody. This would be an empty building if we all just got zapped for our sins right away. God forgave them, and he will forgive you. So this is a good time to read what it says in Proverbs 28:9. He who turns away his ear from listening to the Torah, even his prayer, is an abomination. God listens to our prayers. Don't turn away from him. On the anniversary of Moses' third ascent to the mountain, we begin a similar period of seeking a greater connection to God. Okay, so what do we do during this period of time? Well, the first thing you can do every morning is blow the shofar. daily blowing of the shofar, starting with August 21st, that's next Friday. Every morning when you wake up, the heck with your alarm clock. I know how to get the rest of your family up. Blow your shofar. If you don't have a shofar, make a little roll out of the tube or something. Like we did when we were children, out of the toilet. Okay, and you do that all the way to September 18th until your neighbors come and evict you. But you should sound the shofar. I know Roger goes out on his deck and goes, ooh, and the whole neighborhood starts throwing things at his house. Yeah. Okay, and you could do a pattern of tekiya, a uniform sustained note. Boy, that'll wake them up. Or you can do a shevarim, a succession of three shorter notes. Well, actually, you're supposed to do all of these in that order. And then you do a teruah, a rapid succession of brief broken blasts. And a final tekiah. That's a long blast, right, Lou? Yeah, that's how you do it. So blow the shofar. Next thing you do is you daily recite prayers called selichot. The Jewish people have all these written down, but you don't need to use those. You can repent and do penitential repentance prayers every morning. You can call them selichot. That's what they are. They'll include requests for forgiveness, if mercy. So it says in John 16, 26 and 27, in that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will request the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. And John 15, 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken. So these selichot are based on the 13 attributes of God, which are in Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7. You know, God is full of mercy, he's compassionate and kind, those kind of things. And so just ask him for forgiveness from all the things that you did. And in a few minutes, I'm going to give you something to help you with all this. So what do we got next? Next thing you do every morning when you wake up, after you blow the shofar, got everybody mad at you, did your penitential prayers, recite Psalm 27. We're going to start reciting Psalm 27 next week, and we'll be doing it all the way through the holy days, okay? And on the back of your bulletins, if you look, there's some notes about Psalm 27. So read your bulletins, like I told you, and that includes the front and the back, okay? Okay, and then you can also... repent, because repent always means return to Torah. And Torah is God's basis for all that you should know. If you want to live a holy life on this earth, Bible means basic instruction before leaving earth. It doesn't tell you anywhere in the Bible how to live in the future. It tells you how to live here on earth. And the only way you can do it is to follow what God tells you to do. Now, if there's something that's not in there, then it's obviously something you shouldn't be doing. Does God tell you to go see R-rated movies every day and protest in the Capitol grounds about unfair taxation? Doesn't say that. It says in there in Matthew 13 to pay your taxes and support your government. So, doesn't say in there to do those other things, so maybe you shouldn't be doing them. I don't know. I'm not going to go into that right now. But I am going to give you some help. And I'm going to pass out two things. The first is a calendar. It's printed on two pages. Somebody want to do this for me? There's plenty for everybody. It's on two pages, and it starts with August. The first day of Elul, we have August 21st. And remember, Jewish days, or God's day, not Jewish days, God's days start when? Sundown the night before. So Friday begins at 6 p.m. Thursday night. So what we've done here, and I want to thank Teresa Harrington for doing all this work. I kind of gave her an idea of what I wanted, and she just ran with it and did an awesome job here. This is the next thing to pass out. The first thing, what we've done is we took the Ten Commandments, and we gave you 4 days for each commandment to work on. And so the first commandment is on the 20th at the night, sins against the first commandment, the 21st, the 22nd, and the 23rd. And then on the 24th, we start with sins against the second commandment. Okay? Are you listening, or are you just talking to each other? Okay. And then it goes all the way to September 28th, which is Yom Kippur, and that's the 10th commandment. Now, we also are passing out another sheet, the blue sheet, and the blue sheet is 6 pages long, and on the blue sheet we have each commandment listed by day. August 20th, let's just take that. Day one, failure to the first commandment, and we categorized it into 4 different things for you to work on. Failure to love God with all my heart. The second day, failure to honor God with my tithes and offerings. The third day, failure to believe the word of God. Failure to trust in Him. Sins of doubt and unbelief. And the fourth day, failure to obey God, His word, His Son, and His Holy Spirit. And then we have a column there for you to write in. It says, how am I doing? What should I do to change? So that'll give you a chance to reflect on it, to think about it, to write something down. You don't have to turn it in. I won't grade it. Did you get a blue one? You didn't get a blue sheet. You're not a complete person. Man, I know how to get them out of their seats, don't I? Okay, and this goes on. This goes on for 40 days. There's 6 pages there. Each commandment is broken out into 4 different things for you to work on. And so you can do your teshuva. I think this is an awesome, awesome thing that we have here. Not been done anywhere else. So this is a new, huh? I think Teresa, and she gives you Bible verses to look at and everything. So I think with all that, you're going to do a wonderful job of repenting and doing your teshuva. But I wouldn't know, because you're doing it personally with God. It's not for me to know, right?